is going to give the devotion this morning. So, Brother Jerry, you come.
It's good to be in God's house this morning with brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm really not sure, exactly sure, how to get started in this particular thought that I have. I've used some of these verses before. So if you think you've heard the message before or the devotion before, okay, just keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. We've used a particular verse in the book of Revelation, the 20th chapter, verse 15. And as I've studied this particular verse out, and as I've studied this particular passage and chapter out, I'm finding that there's more and more and more and more and more and more in there. But I saw something in there that I want to go over again and make sure emphatically that everybody understands a couple of things there. Hopefully I'll better understand. It's really a subject matter I don't like to talk about, Brother Jordan. I don't want to know any more about this place. Say it. That's correct. We can accept it as a warning. But what I want to show are some scriptures that our Lord Jesus Christ used about this particular matter, subject matter. Now it says right here, I'm going to read verse 14 and 15. It says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." That's the word we're looking at, lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The last few words of that last verse there are very important. And whosoever was not cast, who was not found written in the book of life. There is a book of life. As a tree of life. There's an eternal life. The book of life was, if you're not in that book, if you're not hanging in that tree with the Lord Jesus Christ, you was cast into the lake of fire. Now this is a strong warning type devotion. And that's what it amounts to. But this lake of fire here, Brother Jordan, I always thought it was another place besides hell. And I've told you that before. But this is, you can call it hell or you can call it the lake of fire. Whichever one you want to, it's a final destination of those that don't, that are not in the book of life. But I'm going to read a few verses that Jesus himself used when walking up on the face of this earth. We hear people all the time, and I've got to use this expression, and I don't want anybody to fall out of the chair when I use it. But we hear people say, "Hell no." Or how about, "Hell yes." How about, Bruce, have you ever heard somebody say, it's hot as hell in here? And you know, the thing about it is, most of them use that word hell, and they really don't know what they're saying. It's an expression of, what can we call it? It's an expression they don't know what they're saying. Sir? Say that louder. I heard you. I just wanted you to say it again. I heard you. But you're right. It's a mockery. It's a word of mockery. And people don't even realize they're using it. What they're doing. Because they're ignorant. They're not written down in the book of life. Now, if they do belong to the Lord, they're foolishly saying it. Okay, I read that verse right there, but we're going to sort of take these in sequence, and I'll try not to spend all day on them because of the allotted time that I might want to leave my good speaker this morning to speak. But first of all, I want to prove that it's a place. And Jesus Christ used this very word, Matthew 10 and 28. Now, I'm not here to preach the contents or give a devotion of the contents of this whole chapter or all of the words there that you might better understand that whole passage and everything. I'm trying to show you that Christ Jesus used this word, the word hell. Must be something to it. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both. Notice these words. Able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. You know, every time I hear something, some relative says something on TV about a relative that has passed away or been killed in an accident, oh, they've gone to heaven. Or they tell the kids, daddy's gone to a better place. Hopefully that's so. I'm not saying they didn't, but I'm just telling you, everybody uses that expression. He's gone to a better place, gone to heaven. Some people go to hell. Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 disciples of the Lord. The scripture says enough to me to cause me to realize that a preacher, Brother Jordan, why did he preach? I don't know what he preached. I believe that he preached some of the gospel that he was taught because he followed around the other disciples and he followed around Christ and they were taught what to say and they were taught the correct doctrine and everything. Judas Iscariot, as far as I know and concerned, went to hell. One of the twelve. Disciples that belong to the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Linda, you're number 12. But keep that in mind. Everybody that you see is not going to heaven. Everybody that you know in church is not going to heaven. Everybody that's killed in a car accident out here on the highway is not going to heaven. And I don't know how wrong it is to tell a child that their daddy has gone to heaven when he's lived like a wicked person all the days of their life. I don't know how wrong it could be. I'm just thankful I've never had to do it. I always want my children to remember their grandfather. Anyway, let's change the story right here. I want you to notice here, Abel destroyed both in body and soul in hell. I'm telling you right now that this place, this is a place. It's not in the vain imaginations of men. It's not sitting on some cloud somewhere else. Now, where is hell? I don't know. God has a prepared place that's called hell. Now, Jesus used some words in his scripture, in these scriptures, to define, to give us a better idea and a picture of what hell is like. I'm not sure that I totally understand every single concept here, but let's look at a few of them in Matthew 5 and 22. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. I don't want to use the expression I used before, Brother Jordan, because you corrected me. But those are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh. And he mentioned fire in that place. Some people want to try to justify what hell is like. So, oh, that's just what, you know, you're going to be there without Christ. I'm not so sure about that. And that's not the subject right now, but I want to show you these few verses here. Matthew 23 and 15. And unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That's what Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, is calling these people here, scribes and Pharisees. And we're not going into that matter any further. For you cop a sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. We need to be careful about what we go out and tell everybody about. Oh, when granddaddy dies, he's going to heaven. We need to be truthful with each other. We don't want to be hypocrites in what we tell everybody. I don't want to stand here and be a hypocrite in this matter also. I believe, whether you believe it or not, I believe it's the Lord that lays these things on my heart. Not just for me, but for each one of you here and for everybody that might hear the truth. Hell is a real place. And those that die without Christ as their Savior will spend eternity in this place. Matthew 23 and 33. Some very strong words from Jesus Christ. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? It's not a vacation. I've been wanting to go on a vacation to the Smoky Mountains, Brother Jordan. It's not going to be like hell, though. Hell is a place of damnation, wherever it is. Some say it's in the heart of the earth. Some say it's in the heart of the sun. Now, that'd be a pretty good place today. I don't want to be there. Some say it might be in some outer galaxy somewhere. wherever it is, it's damnation there. Damnation means to me, means that it's not anything good about it. You're not going to be laying out on a beach. I saw a deal on TV yesterday where a bunch of people were laying out on the beach, but they had these umbrellas over them, huge canopies of umbrella over them to keep them cool. You won't have no umbrella over you in hell. What kind of body will you have there? Brother Jordan, I'm not exactly sure about what kind of body we'll have there. I know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 43, 44, 45, in there, about in there, we're going to have a new body. Is it a different body? It's going to be a body that suffers in hell, in this damnation of hell, for those that don't know the Lord. Let's go to Matthew 25 and 45, where the Lord speaks. We'll read verses 45 and 46. It says, "Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." It's a place of everlasting punishment. That eliminates the vacation we were talking about. "But the righteous into life eternal." Those that are written in the book of life are called the righteous into life eternal. Those that are not written there will go away into everlasting punishment, a place of damnation, a place of fire, a place of suffering, a place where you'll remember. God's word tells us that we'll have remembrance. I believe that in hell you'll remember. Probably have a better memory there than you will today. Now, I need a better memory, but I don't want to have to go to hell to find it. And to realize what I'm trying to remember that happened 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, 3 years ago, 30 years ago, whatever. I don't want to have to go to hell to remember that. But in hell, you'll have a perfect memory. Remember that first verse I read up there? It says, body and soul in hell. Body and soul. Most people walking the face of this earth today do not believe that the body will be in hell. God manifested in the flesh that body and soul in hell. If you deny that, if you deny that, you're denying God's word. Glad to have you, brother. Well, let's look at a few passages. Some of these ideas we can see them repeat themselves. But in the book of Mark, I'm going to read chapter 9, book of Mark, verses 43 through 48. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands and go into hell, Mark chapter 9, verse 43. It's better than having two hands and going into hell. I don't want to lose. I was telling somebody this morning about my scar up here. When I went in to see that doctor, I said, "Doctor, I don't want any more cancer left in my arm." I said, "When you go in there to cut that thing out, if you feel like you have to cut it off, cut the whole arm off." I told him that. I'm glad I got my left arm. Into the fire that never shall be quenched. What the Lord Jesus Christ said. Into the fire. It'll never be put out. I was a fireman for a while. This just come to my mind. We had a train fire in Danbury one time. It was a train wreck. And it was a horrible fire there. I think it took us about 2 days to put it out. But we finally put it out. In hell, the fire will never go out. Bruce, is it a literal fire? I don't know. It says fire. Whatever it is, we're not going. The person that goes to hell is not going to like it. And it'll never be quenched. It won't be put out in 2 days' time. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. No matter what the physical condition, it's always better to go have it maimed in some physical way, have cancer, have tuberculosis, have whatever you might have. I know a guy that died of a brain tumor. But it'd be better to have that in this life than to go to hell. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. And if it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes, and to be cast into hell fire. The lake of fire, if you don't mind. If you want to count it as the lake of fire worse than the place of fire, go ahead. You cannot lessen the effects of it. It's a horrible place, and it's a place to punish. The fire will never be put out. And that the person that does not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ today, that's all he has to look for. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Also look in Luke 12 and 5. But I will forewarn you. And that's what I'm striving to do here. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing in this verse right here. Luke 12 and 5. By the way, there are a number of places that the word hell and eternal punishment and words that indicate and tell us more about hell throughout the Bible than just these. I'm reading these because they're what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Hopefully we'll take heed and listen to them. They're not words I'm not trying to scare anybody. But people don't believe in this place. where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm sorry, Luke 12:5. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. People living in this life, their bellies are full and they have a good paying job and they have a nice home and three cars sitting in the driveway and they don't have any problems. They're happy with everything. They have a good education. Their favorite person took them out to lunch and fed them. Well, they're having a good time. Fear him which after he hath killed. Fear him. Who is that? Which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell, into that lake of fire. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. I remember that scripture. It's wise to fear God. How do you fear God? You fear Him by studying His Word every day. You read a portion of it. You fear Him by coming to church on Sunday. You fear Him by being obedient to what you read here in this book. And we've quoted the verse before, but where it says, we need to be careful about whether we turn to the left or the right. We need to be straight on with God's Word. Well, I'll read Revelation 14:10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. You think you're not going to be there all alone. You're going to be in there's going to be angels there in hell. They're going to be, there's the Lamb that's going to be there. God manifested in the flesh will be glorified with those that he puts in hell. Oh, you don't like that? I don't either. It scares me. I know that when I pass away, I'm going to be with the Lord. My soul is going to be with Him. But here it says, he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11 there says, and the smoke of their torment. You see that word? Torment. That's in that lake of fire. That's in that place you think you're going on a vacation. That's in that place that lasts throughout eternity. It's eternal. That means it never ends. Bruce is going to talk more today about the Sabbath day. A day that we should go about worshiping the Lord. And mean it from our heart. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Smoke. There must be a fire there because there's smoke there. Brother Dale, I don't know whether that's a idiom or some other kind of speech or not. I don't want to go there to find out. And it's not my, just, well, that's another subject. There are other verses that I have. Do I read any of them? Psalms 9 and 17 says that the wicked shall be turned into hell. So the word hell is used also in the Old Testament, not just the New Testament. Matthew 25 and 46 talks about, it tells us that there are two different destinies. One is to be with the Lord in heaven, or to be cast into a devil's hell. By the way, if you're cast into the lake of fire, into hell, the devil's going to be there, and all the wicked people of this earth that have ever, some that you have cursed and blamed all of your misfortunes on throughout ages and ages, will be there with you. So you'll be comforted there because you have your friends there. No, I don't want them to be my friends. Wicked go aways there. I'm sorry, I got to stop. Oh yes, Revelation 20 and verse 1. I want you to see this. This John wrote this. And he said, hell is a bottomless pit. Bottomless pit. How deep is that? How deep? That means it's everlasting. I believe it was Jonathan Edwards that said that every day that you fall into that pit, hell is worse the next day, or it's compounded every single day that you plunge into that bottomless pit. So you might have hope. Some denominations try to give you hope. All you got to do is have some kinfolks praying your way out of that bottomless pit. But the pit of hell is bottomless. It never ends. Day in and day out, they will suffer throughout eternity. I've spoke too long.
Brother Jerry, I don't think any of us really like to think about it, and yet it is as much a reality as heaven is, and it is something that is downplayed today like it's never been before, and people just simply have been misled into believing, first of all, well, there's not any place like that, that God would never send somebody to hell. And yet his word says just exactly the opposite of that, and he warned us over and over that it is so. The thing about that word quenched, Brother Jerry said it never would be put out, but that word quenched goes further than that. Neither will it never be put out, but it will never be diminished. Not one iota. It will always be the same. And yes, we speak in terms like it gets worse and worse, but that's, again, just to emphasize it's a hyperbole, somewhat of an exaggeration to try to instill the true effects of hell upon the soul of man. Just like to say this, again, we read that verse, which is be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. It will be in the presence of God's people. And that does not mean that God's people nor the holy angels and or the Lamb, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is going to be physically present there, but it does mean that that place called hell will be observed by those holy angels by the Lamb and by the people of God. As Isaiah explains it, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord, and they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Now, do not believe that God's people will observe all of this with delight in the proper sense of that word, but we will be observing this always, forever, as a reminder of what God has saved us from, and enhance the praise of Him that has saved us from this dreadful place, but that will be a reality to all. And it is something that now is the accepted time. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart. So it is a good warning and a good exhortation this morning. We'll say this, though, that God's people will rejoice that sin is finally conquered. Totally, completely, absolutely. And that sin and death and hell are cast into that lake of fire, and it will never, ever affect God's people. So, the good devotion this morning, and we're thankful for it.